Hello, welcome back again to the Athlete's Voice podcast. My name is Yona Knight Wisdom, and this is episode number 20 of The Aim, The Athlete in Me, where I want to help you become the best that you can be. Into my second week of off-season, I am resting my body but not quite resting my mind. However, I'm enjoying my time. The book is coming along well. I'm going to speak about that a little bit during this episode, and everything is all right. I'm doing some coaching. I'm trying to stay relatively busy, but also, you know, it's nice to have no obligations and, you know, the ability to sleep in or go to bed late or, you know, just kind of do whatever I want throughout the day. I mean, it's terrible, but basically on Saturday, I literally didn't even get dressed. I just stayed in my pajamas all day long, just watching various sport. I watched football. I think I watched two games of football, diving, gymnastics, and so many other things, whilst also doing some work on my book. And, you know, it's not quite the holiday that people enjoy, but I don't necessarily need that. And I'm having a great time here, just chilling out, relaxing, and doing my thing. This morning I got to have a nice little chat with my friend Chris, who I haven't spoken to for a long, long time. My good friend that I used to train with, Olympic champion in 2016. And we had a real good conversation, almost an hour and a half of just pure chat, which was good vibes, but also like deep stuff as well. Like, and you know, we've been through a lot together. He's been through a lot since he's retired. I've been through a lot since he's retired. And it's just cool to kind of share our journeys and continue the connection, because, you know, I really like Chris and we got along so well. And one thing that I was worried about was that when he retired, then that would go, but it hasn't. And it's just become a bit more infrequent, but there's been a proper connection between the two of us ever since. So that's really nice. But, you know, I've got another week of chilling. I'm going to start doing a bit of prehab this week, going into my physio's gym and doing a little bit of work to try and set the foundations of my body. Nothing too strenuous or intense or anything like that, just a little bit of something to make sure that when I go back at the start of the season, my body is feeling good and strong, and most importantly recovered from the challenges of the end of last season. I was doing great. I was doing so well literally right up until the last week before Commonwealth Games. So if I can make sure that the foundations are laid a little bit more strongly, then I will hopefully avoid a similar kind of fall off towards the end of next season, because next season is an important year. And yes, it might be slightly less intense in terms of the volume of competitions in a short space of time, but it is going to carry some significance because Olympic qualification starts again next year. Anyway, let's move on to the voice notes from this week. Number one. Making good progress, but wow, book writing is hard. It is hard, and especially with what I'm trying to do. It just hit me yesterday how much I genuinely have to do. And I had originally set my target of September the 1st, which is definitely not going to happen because it's the 22nd of August and I'm nowhere near finishing any of the books. I made very, very good progress in four of them. I'd say I'm like 95% finishing one. I'm about halfway through two others and I've just started a fourth one this morning. And that means five, which have not even been started yet. So I'm going to try and get some good work done this week, but definitely not going to be ready for September the 1st. So I'm looking at maybe October the 1st now, but I'm going to keep up the intensity and keep up the work rate with it and try and increase it as much as I can over the next few weeks. But I'm enjoying the process. I find myself struggling at times with it. I take lots of breaks because, you know, kind of my process is like kind of writing a few words, like spending 5-10 minutes like just typing, and I get quite a few words down and then my brain goes a little bit empty and I have to kind of remove myself from the situation, or just I end up just staring at the screen and not making any progress, trying to think about what to type next or how to link it, because rather than just like waffling away and writing down loads of words, then coming back through and editing and reassessing what I've written, I tend to make sure that each sentence is correct as soon as I write it, so that when I read it back, I don't feel like I need to change it unless there are any minor details that need to be adjusted. So I take lots of breaks. I just kind of, you know, will go on my phone and scroll through Instagram, or play a little bit of my Formula One game, or just go and watch TV, or go and get some food or something. But when I'm doing that, I'm almost thinking, like, why am I not using this time to write? Like, imagine how much progress I could have made if I was using all of that free time to write. But as I say, that time, I don't think it would result in any kind of effective writing. And maybe the words that I write would not make sense, so I then end up having to go back through it again and changing it and thinking about it in a different way, which ends up in the same lost time. Whereas I actually keep my mental stability when I can actually do something that I enjoy in between. Not to say I don't enjoy doing the writing, but something that is a little bit more relaxing in between sentences. When you write, what is your strategy if you've ever done a dissertation or an essay or anything like that? Do you do the same thing? Do you try and hit each sentence at 100% from the off, or do you just waffle and are you comfortable with just making mistakes so that when you kind of read back through, then you can make adjustments? What do you prefer? Because I don't think there's any right way to do it. This method just works for me. But yeah, I need to try and get as much done as possible before I go back to training, because time will end up obviously being a little bit more limited, and it'll be a little bit more challenging to, you know, make the same amount of progress as I have done throughout my off season. Or alternatively, maybe I might be more motivated to actually get the work done during the breaks between my diving sessions, because maybe diving will actually offer the time away, the break, the mental respite that I need in order to continue writing effective sentences. So maybe I'll go to do my training session and I'll come back home and I'll be able to write much more effectively, much more efficiently, and actually maybe make more progress than I have done during this time in my off season, where I've been a little bit more, well, I've had a little bit less to do. So it might be a positive actually getting back to training, but regardless, I need to just do as much as I can at all times, whenever I get the opportunity, just to make sure I continue ticking over, because I don't want other things to take priority. I don't want this to slip in the background, because I need to get this done. I need to get these up on the website, and I need to start sharing this information with as many people as possible, because the next step after completing all the books is marketing, advertisement, and just general sharing. So I won't be able to do that if I don't have a product to share. So we'll see. But we're getting there. We're making good progress and I'm enjoying it. I'm learning a lot as well. As I write, I'm learning so much. I'm reflecting on some of my old experiences and the lessons I learned from those, and also thinking about what I can take forward into the next season to give myself the best opportunity possible to qualify for Paris at the first opportunity, because that's the goal. Okay, moving on to the second voice note. Finally did something good today and went to get my ear checked by the doctor. I've mentioned my inability or my unwillingness to go to get anything checked basically on this podcast before. I'm very, very, very bad at it. And one thing that sparked me to become better was my dad. He had a bit of a spell of illness towards the end of last year, and the reason why it became as bad as it did was because there were various things that were bubbling up that he probably should have got checked in advance, which might have allowed the doctors to spot the eventual issues that he was faced with. Fortunately, they weren't too bad. He was able to go into hospital, get treated, get sorted, and he was fine. And he's doing good now. But that made me realise I shouldn't also take health for granted, and I should go and get things checked as and when I feel them. I still haven't been very good at it, but it's definitely been in my mind more than it was in the past, which is a step in the right direction. And another step that I made in the right direction was utilizing my time away from training and out of the pool to go to the doctor to get my ear checked, because my ear still had been playing up for about a year and not been feeling normal for about every year, which is not ideal. So I still need to be more accountable, but I don't like the idea of going to a doctor and them saying, "All right, your ear is infected, so you can't go in the water for a week," because I will still go in the water because I feel like I can't afford to not go in the water. I will just try and manage the situation. And that is also what I carry through with the opticians. I don't want to be told to wear glasses because I feel like my eyesight is fine. I carry that through when I go to the dentist. I don't want them to tell me that I can't do anything or that I need fillings or whatever because I feel like my teeth are fine. But that is not a positive way to live, because then things might be missed. So it's still something I'm working on. It's still something I need to improve on. But as I say, it's in my head and I'm trying to rectify my issues. But yeah, my ears have been bothering me for like the past year or so. It's been up and down. There's been times where they felt fine and almost recovered, but then there's also been times where, like now, they're almost constantly blocked and constantly not quite feeling right. Oh dear, sorry. It's not affecting my balance or my equilibrium or anything, but it's just annoying and inconvenient. So also, in slight relation to this, I had recently looked at Maslow's hierarchy of needs as I've been writing my book. That's been involved in the goal setting book. And in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, health forms part of the base of the pyramid of the hierarchy, and that is the basic physiological needs that a person has. Now, in order to move up the hierarchy and up the scale, each set of needs needs to be satisfied. So it goes from basic physiological needs into safety needs, into belongingness and love needs, into self-esteem needs. Then finally, at the top is self-actualization, where a person can essentially achieve their full potential. But it's harder to reach self-actualization if basic needs aren't met or satisfied. So this step now for me is to satisfy one of my basic needs of health and improve it in some way, shape or form. I'm not saying that my results in diving last season, my self-actualization wasn't achieved because of my ears. There might have been other issues, but it definitely can have an impact. If I resolve this, it might cause me to resolve something else, which might cause me to resolve something else, which moves me slowly up the pyramid towards feeling good self-esteem, feeling comfortable, confident in myself and in what I do. And that gives me not a guarantee, but the opportunity of achieving my full potential and achieving self-actualization. So, as I say, by taking these steps now, I will at least be able to begin my next season with a stronger foundation, physically, healthily, and then I can move into the other steps of the hierarchy, which overall should result in better performance, in theory. Okay, moving on to the third voice note. It was very interesting to see Anthony Joshua's true colours for the first time ever, I think, last night. I've been recently enjoying watching boxing more and more and more. The concept of two men or women face to face in a ring, an enclosed space, where the only thing they have, the only instrument, the only tool, is their fists. And it is essentially survival of the fittest over 12 rounds of boxing. If you aren't as fit or as strong or as technically gifted as your opponent, you'll get beat. And you could potentially get beaten very, very, very badly. But if you are on a similar level, and if you put the work in, And if you're mentally strong enough, you either will put up a very good performance under extreme pressure, or you might win. Anthony Joshua fought Alexander Usyk on Saturday night. A huge fight, a rematch. Their first fight ended in a pretty comfortable unanimous decision for Alexander Usyk. AJ did not perform well, but this time he came into the fight with a completely different attitude, completely different approach, completely different mindset, and he put up a much better performance. He still lost to Usyk on a split decision. Really, it probably should have been a unanimous decision because he was outclassed for the majority of the fight. And the judge had AJ up 5-1 after the first six rounds, which, I mean, I back AJ, I support him, but that was not accurate at all. But he should still be proud of his performance. However, afterwards, he kind of lost his mind and he lost his composure quite significantly. What happened was the fight finished. He celebrated and congratulated Usyk. He was wearing the Ukrainian flag. Usyk took the belts. And then the camera cut away to some fireworks, which was really annoying because I was saying in my head, I don't want to see these fireworks. I want to see what's going on in the ring. I want to see what's happening in the fight with the fighters. And then when it panned back to the ring, AJ was at the edge of the ring with two of Usyk's belts in his hand. Couldn't quite figure out what he was saying and then just threw them out of the ring, which that was definitely disrespectful. Then he walked to the other side of the ring and looked like he was about to scrap with someone, got very angry, and then got out of the ring and started to storm off whilst the crowd was booing him towards the dressing room. Then, right at the last minute, it looked like he had a change of thought. He gained a bit of some kind of composure and then came back to the ring. But then he grabbed the mic, and in the moment that should have been Usyk's to celebrate and to enjoy, AJ went off on a pretty interesting speech. And what he actually ended up saying during the speech surprised me, because I thought he was going to just be throwing shade left, right and centre. But he was very complimentary of Usyk. He was talking about his journey, his story, how he almost went to prison and how fighting helped him stay out of prison. And then he eventually found boxing very late at 18, went on this meteoric rise up to the highest level. But his amateur career was only 43 fights compared to Usyk's 350. So first of all, to take someone of such experience twice to 12 rounds is extremely impressive and shows AJ's talent. But it equally shows the importance of patience and the importance of experience, because Usyk has had to wait a long time to get the opportunity that AJ has got in such a short space of time. And that has come through good strategy, good choice of opponent, and some really explosive performances as a younger fighter. But Usyk has had to go about it in a very different way. As I said, 350 amateur fights, a very, very long and hard professional career to finally get to this point now where he has the chance to fight for the undisputed title of holding all the major belts at the same time. That is incredible, and that is inspiring, because it shows how putting in the groundwork, putting in that level of just pure graft from an early age over a long period of time and learning so much in that process will have a benefit much, much, much later on down the line. And that's what Usyk's benefiting from. AJ, unfortunately, has not had that kind of experience. His rise was so much more rapid that when he stepped into the ring, it was going to be very, very difficult for him to win that fight. But the most interesting thing is that normally Anthony Joshua is so well-spoken, he's so humble, but this is the first time that I've ever seen him properly lose his cool and speak in, I tweeted, like, the gangster came out of AJ. and speak in his, you know, more natural tone from, you know, the streets of London, essentially. But he's taken a lot of stick for what he said. I respect it because it showed his true passion and it showed what he really put into the fight. And when it doesn't go your way, which sometimes happens at this kind of level, it is hard to contain those emotions and you lose control. That's pure passion right there. Nothing he said was bad. Nothing he said was wrong. His timing was maybe wrong and his forcefulness was also maybe wrong, but nothing he actually said was wrong. Everything he said was very complimentary of Usyk and it all made perfect sense, but that was pure passion. And that's the way I feel about diving. That's the way I feel about diving. When I didn't make the semi-final, make the final at the Olympics, and when I didn't get a medal at the Commonwealth Games, inside, I wanted to react in that way. I wanted to explain my challenges that I faced and the difficulty of diving for me and everything. I wanted to just make sure people understood and respected that what I had achieved was of an extremely high level, even though it wasn't a medal. But for different reasons, I mean, I wasn't getting punched in the head for 12 rounds. I was able to hold my composure and celebrate and congratulate those around me. Finally, on this point, Piers Morgan tried to compare the pressure on the two fighters, but it absolutely cannot be compared. AJ's pressure is so internal. He has such high standards of expectation on himself, partly based on past performances, but also due to the level of expectation from the media, from his stakeholders, and from his people, his friends. They expect so much from him, and he internalizes all that pressure and puts it, channels it through his training into performance, and that's why he was able to step up a level in the ring against Usyk. Alternatively, Usyk had quote unquote the pressure of a nation on his shoulders, a war-torn nation. But this was a no-loss situation, or no-lose situation for Usyk, because win, lose or draw, he would still be considered a hero in his country because he's gone out, represented them on the biggest stage, did them proud, and he'll come straight back home and get involved in the fight against Russia to bring peace back to their country. That's a no-lose situation. The pressure under AJ was a lose situation. Had he won, he would have been under even more pressure to make sure he went on and became undisputed to fit his narrative. If he lost, he would get absolutely slated by the media, which he has done. You know, calls for retirement, calls for, you know, so many different things which are just absolutely unfair and make no sense. So the pressure, it can't be compared, but I would definitely say there was more pressure on AJ to win that fight than there was on Usyk, and that helped Usyk. That helped Usyk fight in a way that allowed him to just do what he does, allowed him to just fight with confidence and fight with composure. Whereas you could see the pressure, the focus on AJ. He was in a different sphere. He was in a different level of focus for that fight. It wasn't necessarily for the win, I think. I think it was just to appease the opinions of people around him, but it was a tough one. It was a tough one, but it was a very exciting fight, and I think he should still be proud of what he did. Okay, moving on to the final voice note. Whenever I see those adverts on YouTube saying I'm going to reveal my secrets to success, I instantly don't want to hear anymore. Once upon a time, I would watch these videos from start to finish, trying to see if they had the answer, if they could tell me the answer of whatever I needed to do to become successful or to start a business or to run a business well or whatever. I was always searching for the answer. But now, even if they had this big secret that I was missing out on by not watching it, I would actually rather learn the lessons myself. And this has been a recent change in me. Ever since the pandemic, to be honest, and also definitely since this year and starting my business. But I feel I feel like learning lessons yourself and going through experiences yourself is so much more valuable than learning them from someone else indirectly without going through their experience, because they're just going to tell you the good times, they're going to tell you the positive things, they're not going necessarily going to tell you the negatives, the struggles, the challenges, the things they had to fight through. They're not going to give you all of those details, and for most people you won't be able to deal with the challenges that come with extreme success. You won't be able to deal with the negative situations, the holes that you find yourself in that comes with achieving extreme success. I'd rather just go through it myself rather than trying to learn it indirectly from people, because the lessons don't quite hit the same way. And that's what I felt through diving. But anyway, Peter Jones popped up on my YouTube yesterday, the man who gave Levi Roots his investment, and it started off by saying, I can't remember what it started off by saying, but basically, you know, a secret for running a successful business or whatever. But not to say that I can't learn from other people, but definitely not in that context. It's also kind of funny because this is what I'm trying to give to people, is quote unquote secret tips in my books. But what people generally want is a quick fix to go from 0 to 100 as quickly as possible. Yes, small details can be altered, small things can be changed, which has immediate impact on performance improvement or discovering short-term success. But for sustained change and for long-term success, it takes a lot of time and losses on the way to discover this. And the only way you can discover it is by going through it yourself. So with those videos that pop up on YouTube, all I'm saying is, yeah, you can maybe gain some information from them, but it's not going to change your life unless you're willing to actually action all the necessary changes and go through the depths of the struggle before you end up achieving anything of note. Which is kind of savage, but it's just the way it works. Can't do anything about it. Just got to do your best. Simple as that. And on that note, I'm going to go and do my best to cook some food, and then I'm going to do my best to continue writing some words in my book before I have to go to coaching, and then I'll come back home and hopefully watch Manchester United do their best to try and beat Liverpool and get some points on the board, because it's not been a very good start to the season, has it? Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it. Any thoughts, ideas or considerations, hit me up on social media. If not, I hope you come back next week, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.
If you've made it to this point, much respect from me to you. We are almost done. Before you go, be sure to leave a rating and a comment. Give my Athlete's Voice social accounts a like or a follow. I'll be back with more stories and more conversations soon, so stay tuned.